I want to intro our 2019 church memory verse, Matthew 22, 37, and 40. I won't assume that you have it memorized, so I'm going to put it up there. And let's just read it together, can we? Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So I just encourage you to memorize that, commit it to, hide it in your heart, draw from it, let God encourage you through it when you, difficult things, challenging things in this year. It's like, go back to basics, back to basics. That's what we were made for, we were formed for, to love the Lord with all we got. And it's not just because God is needy. God is not relationally needy. He knows that when we love him and fix our eyes and focus on him first, everything else is better off. And just put those two laws. You can, all the law and the prophets, all the declarations, all the generations of what's been written in here, hang on those two. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You can all be boiled down to that. If you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to steal from him, cheat on him, you're not going to lie to him. All the law fits with those two. Really simplifies things. So I hope you commit that to memory. Okay, have you ever had a "what was I thinking" moment? Today? Maybe not yet today, it's still early, but I know I've had many. "What was I thinking?" You raise five kids, you ask yourself that a lot. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? What were you thinking? And because I can't make enough rules in the house, don't do this, because they've come up with things I never imagined to make a rule about. You think you got things covered, but one time, I'll just give one example of my son who's not here in the room, just to be gracious to these guys. I won't mention Lewis's name up in Brainerd that he's... I found these slits in the drywall of the upstairs hallway. It's like these little slits, about a quarter inch, just like taking a butter knife and then it's like, there's some in the window screen too, a metal window screen, slits. Come to find out, my son figured out how to throw playing cards so hard and with such a snap of the wrist, he could actually stick them in the drywall or stick them in the window screen, cutting the metal window screen. And it's like, what were you thinking? And I could give other examples of other children that are within earshot, but I won't do that. So Henry Ford said, "Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right." And I thought that was a good quote, because thoughts are powerful. Thoughts need incubation to become deeds. So we need to be careful what we sit on. So that God knows our thoughts are powerful. They produce. It starts, an action started with a thought. And so we need to be careful what our thoughts are. So in our memory verse for the year, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your mind." And that's what I want to focus on today. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. I just want to pray as we get into this. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us strong minds, powerful minds. Lord, help us. Lord, bless this time. Bless our revelation. Lord, give us revelation at the power of your giving us thoughts and how thoughts produce actions. Lord, bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you for your great love for all of us. Amen. So I want to just rattle off some examples, quick examples. I won't read all the verses, but how often it was a common phrase that Jesus would say to his disciples as he went about teaching on the earth. Matthew 17:25. "What do you think, Simon? From whom are taxes collected?" Matthew 18:12. "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one wanders," and he goes on the story, and he always starts, Matthew 21:28, "What do you think?" There was a man who had two sons. Another one, Matthew 22, 42. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Jesus, over and over, he's asking questions about what are they thinking? What were you thinking? Jesus continues to ask us that question. What do you think? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? How do you think of this situation or that situation? He's asking us, he wants us to, because that's where it starts. That's where decisions begin, with thinking about it, dwelling on it, pondering it. And Jesus taught them what not to think. Matthew 5, 17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law. But then he goes on, don't think like that. He'd say, you know, asking, what do you think? What you shouldn't think. And many times it's written that Jesus knew their thoughts. He certainly is the one that knows our thoughts well, and would question them about what they were thinking. Through Isaiah, God spoke 118, God invites us saying, come, let us reason together. God honors our ability to think through things and to consider things. And he doesn't say, you know, be a robot and don't do that and think like this. But he says, let's reason this out. Let's think this through. And he works with us as a loving father would. So the accusation is that Christians have to turn off their brains. You know, we don't have any shelves out there for you to set your brain, you know, before you come in. It's like quite the opposite. God wants us to think through what he says about the universe, about us. In fact, it is the most intelligent thing we can do is think through what God says, because it makes the most sense. Everything that God says compared to everything else that the world says, it makes a heck of a lot more sense to believe what God says. And the more we understand, the smartest thing we can do is get to know God better. And the more we know him, the more it'll make sense to love him and honor him with your whole life. So our understanding is not what we lean on. It's like it says, do not lean on your own understanding. But we know Mary, it says Mary pondered these things in her heart, the things the angel said. She pondered those things in her heart. And the psalmist talks about meditating on God's word day and night. We meditate on God's word, not just on our own thoughts that come to us easily, but we meditate on the word of the Lord. So how do we love God with all our minds? I want to look at number one. Just give thanks, for there's no condemnation in Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans, who are very much, you know, the Jews operated with more signs and wonders and feelings, and the Romans were all in the head. They were all the philosophers, the Greeks and the Romans. They wanted to think it through. It had to make sense. And so Paul talks a lot about thoughts and what we do with them or not do with them. But in chapter 8 is a great whole chapter on that. It starts, and I think it's significant, it starts with Romans 1, 2, 1 and 2, 8, 1 and 2. Sorry, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So sin produces death. The Spirit of life brings life. The law of the Spirit brings life. And you have to know, you have to start by knowing that you're loved by God because of what Jesus has done. There is no condemnation. There is no F's to those who are in Christ. Whether we understand him or don't understand, whether we're getting to know him or know him well, it's like, and it's not to say that everyone gets a participation award, but in some ways it's like that. God loves us, regardless of performance. That's the starting point. That's the beginning point. That's where we have to start. There is no condemnation, so we give thanks that we're not condemned. Not because of what we've done by, oh, I'm much better now that I go to church and I give money, now I read the Bible, and now God, you know, owes me, you know, his favor. It's like, no, none of that. It's because of what Jesus did. It's only based on what Jesus did. Jesus paid the price. He took the punishment. And by our accepting that and believing that, we are credited as righteous before God. And so that's the place where we start. We have to understand God's love for us is not performance-based. It's a constant. And knowing God loves you will set you free to freely want to love Him back. How can you love someone? You ever try to love someone who's mad at you? If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. And we're not motivated. We're not real motivated to want to cozy up to someone who is angry with you, right? And how with God, if you think He's angry at you because you messed up, you screwed up, you did this with your life or that with your life, it's like, how motivated are you going to be to want to love Him with all your heart and with all your mind? So it's the beginning point that we have to wrestle with that. Do whatever it takes to wrestle with that. You are loved by God. You are loved. Not because of your performance, good or bad, you are loved. And that's the foundation for everything else that comes after that. There's no condemnation because the law of punishment for sin was satisfied by Jesus on the cross. So I want to emphasize this. We know probably the most famous Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever should believe on Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that you see a lot. Most people have heard of that. They don't necessarily know who was talking to who about it. But what gets lost in the glory shadow of John 3:16 is the next two verses that are really important to understand and see in the whole context. Verse 17, I just want to say, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Sounds pretty safe, pretty encouraging. But then verse 18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Great, we're not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Say already. Okay, because everyone, they stand condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is so important, and it was a revelation for me to see in the Bible. It's like everyone is condemned. Everyone stands condemned. And it's not that God has to come up with some new rule, or it's not like you're driving a car on a mountain cliff road and you lose control and go over the guardrail and you're because you're being careless or whatever, and God doesn't invent gravity to punish the person who rammed off the road to their destruction. That law of gravity was there the whole time. He didn't have to produce a consequence for someone who defied the law. So the law of sin and death applies to everyone. But Jesus came. Amen. Jesus came because He knows that everyone stands condemned already, that Jesus made a way so that we will not be condemned. That He had paid the price as we celebrated the cross, the blood of Jesus paid the price. So we love God best when we understand His great love for us and what the price that He paid for us to be forgiven, to have that way, to be right with Him. And that's great news. That's great news. John 3:16 is awesome. And especially when you know that everyone stands condemned first, already, before they put their faith in Jesus as God's one and only Son. So we celebrate, we give thanks because we're not condemned. And from that point, now we move forward into loving God with all of our minds and our understanding, not just this blind, oh, I'm hoping for the best, but no, there is clear thoughts. Number two, we need to ponder how to please God and not ourselves. Fix your mind on Jesus. And I'm going to continue in that chapter 8 of Romans. I just want to read verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's so important to what you do with your mind, because your thoughts will produce actions. Your thoughts will birth behavior. It starts here. Even legal terms, that premeditated, that's a different, could be the, doesn't change the consequence, but changes the crime. If it was premeditated, you could have an assault. Was it premeditated? If not, that's a completely different thing. It was an accident. Changes everything. Everything is changed by, was it in your head to begin with? Or was it not in your head? That changes everything. So we think about what we're thinking about. So our minds tell our bodies what the game plan is. That's how it works. Our minds lead and our bodies follow. So we aim them, and the rest of us, we aim our minds in the right direction, the rest of us will follow. So to love God with all our minds means we set our minds on what God desires, and the right actions will follow. I'm just going to continue after in verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So we set our minds on whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is honorable, whatever is praiseworthy. We are given the mandate, the encouragement by God, dwell on that. You know what worry is? Worry is just negative faith. It's just faith, you dwelling on something that has not even happened. Typically, when we're worrying about something, we're imagining horrible things, and we're all guilty of it. When a kid doesn't come home at night, it's easy to allow our minds to go into these imaginations, and we're pretty good at it, conjuring up thoughts and horrible things, and all that is faith in action in a negative way. And so we got to be careful what we dwell on. Dwell on whatever is pure. Paul says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is what's noble or honorable or praiseworthy, think on these things. Because he knows as you're thinking on those things, life and peace will be birthed. You'll be roosting on really good things, and really good things will spring from that, will hatch from it. This is pretty simple. Is it easy? Not at all. But is it worth the fight? Absolutely. For all Jesus has done for us, to think through what brings life and peace is worth it, because he paid a great price so that we can be forgiven, so we can have a starting point of no condemnation, so we can wrestle with our thoughts. And he helps us supernaturally. He does give us divine power to do this. I want to look at number 3, police your thoughts. And this is what God has given us, divine power, supernatural ability to not just, he doesn't just leave us on our own. My son Gabriel is almost done with his studies to become a police officer. And he can put on a uniform. He'll have the authority to put on a uniform. But God gives us, you know, if you're not a police officer, you put on a uniform, it's a crime. It's illegal to impersonate an officer. But he's been given authority to do that, and God gives us authority to police our own thoughts. Amen. And to, in not just natural authority, but supernatural authority to do that. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. And this is talking about the weapons we fight with are not of this world. We don't war as the world wars. But verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. I just want to say divine power. Say it. Divine power. Not just tough it out, hope you do well, natural power. It's divine power, supernatural power from above to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have been given authority from God. When you have that thought going through your mind, it's like, oh, I can't stop thinking about it. Yes, you can stop thinking about that. Yes, you have divine power to stop dwelling on that. You can do it. And we make excuses. Yeah, but you don't understand. And we dwell on these imaginations. We dwell on these things that bring a lack of peace. They don't bring peace and life. They bring worry and doubt and fear. And God says, love me with all your mind. Love me with your mind. Dwell on what is life. Did the one who saved your soul leave you to just flounder and figure it out to the circumstances of this, you know, world that's under a curse? No, he didn't. He has supernatural divine power. I don't care what the studies say or the laws of physics or any of that stuff. It doesn't matter. God is the one who can walk on water. God is your Father. God is the one who doesn't condemn you. God is the one who punished his Son, Jesus, for your sins and my sins. He, of course, loves you, and we need to dwell on that, that he who knew no sin became sin for me, that he who, when there was no way that I could be forgiven and made whole and healed and made righteous, Jesus came in the fullness of time and made a way when there was no way. And so we meditate on that. We dwell on those things. We can choose to dwell on those things and not somehow, I don't know if it's just an American thing or what, but we think we're so smart. And we dwell on this like, no, you don't understand. This thing is bad. This is how it's going to go. And it's going to go. And I want to know it ahead of time. We think we have to have understanding before this bad thing happens to say, I knew it. It's like, why do we think that? Instead of saying, I knew God was going to be good. I knew God is going to be glorified. I knew it was going to be okay. Say that. Dwell on that. I knew Jesus is able. I knew his blood was enough. I knew when he said it's finished, that he meant it's finished. And not, it's finished, yeah, but. It's like, no, he paid it all. He loves me. But all these circumstances are screaming at us. But with all my mind, I'm going to honor the Lord and dwell on what is pure and lovely and of good report and of noble, trustworthy, and declare who he is. And so we have divine power to, I like to say, grab that thought by the scruff of the neck and bring him over to the window and throw him out. Throw that thought out. That is not building us up, these thoughts that come in and try to take over with worry and doubt. And it's not just a positive thinking thing, it's a God thing, it's a God's word thing. It's a divine power, it's a provision from the holy God of the universe who created you and I, who formed you in the womb, who knows your end from the beginning. He knows where you're going in life. He knows everything about you. And he says, I have only good thoughts toward you. And I sent my Son to pay for your sins. And you are forgiven. And I am involved in your life. And we need to remind ourselves of that in our mind and not let our feelings and our imaginations run wild. It's a pretty simple concept. Easy in theory. Tough to put into practice. And so I just encourage you to challenge you to renew your mind. Renew your mind. And, of course, fill it. Fill it with this so you have some ammunition. This is how you get loaded up. Get loaded up with ammunition to use to destroy strongholds. When there's certain areas that are repeatedly coming after you, find the scripture, find the promise, find the truth, find the reality in here and apply it. Speak it out. Say it. Remind yourself what is real. And then number four, it just started with giving thanks that we're not condemned. Number four, rejoice. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 4. Paul, writing to the people of Philippi, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Sometimes, always. Except when it's really bad? Always. What if it's worse than ever? Rejoice always. It's like, that seems cruel and foolish. But God says, rejoice always. Because He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where He's going. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And this is ammunition. You know, this is stuff to hold on to hide in your heart, to hold on to. God is near. He's not far off. He's not forgotten you. He's not distracted or busy with something else. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in most things, in the majority of things, in some things, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then I'm going to, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God will help you in your thought life as you talk to Him, as you petition Him, as you give thanks to Him. You start with giving thanks, and you end with rejoicing. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of what the need is, God is never caught off guard. He is always way ahead of the game in your life. You never have to worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. God, who loves you, He's on it. He's on it. He's working in it. And as long as we're working with Him and we're not resisting Him, we know it's going to be good. And even when we resist Him, He's still good and graciously works with us to get us back on track. So this is all related to our 2019 church memory verse, love the Lord your God with all you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I just want to encourage you and help set you free to fall deeply or deeper in love with God because of who He is. Not just on Sundays, but at home, at work, at school, while you're driving, while whatever you're doing, to learn how to love the Lord for who He is and all He's done for us. So you ready to make 2019 a year that's better than 2018? To choose to get to know Him better, get to know His Word, fill up on His Word so that you have it at the ready to come against those thoughts, come against those things that our nature wants to make bigger than they should be. And I want to end with this story. During the week after Christmas, New Year, somewhere in there, I had my little, which you may have heard, my little 2-year-old grandson. And he's a tiny little guy. And I was reading a book to him, and I had the TV on. There's kids around, other grandkids and other people, and I don't know if it was a football game, had on, just kind of in the background. We know it wasn't a Vikings game, so we did, but it was some kind of paying attention, kind of not paying attention. And I'm reading this book, and I finish the page, and he's on my lap and just by himself, and other kids are doing things, people are talking, and I got talking and distracted for quite a while, and he's just sitting there patiently. And then, I mean, he's two. He's a little two, hasn't been two very long. Hasn't talked a whole lot, doesn't have a whole lot of experience talking. So out of his mouth, as quiet and as gentle as can be, he says, "Papa, I'm ready to flip the page." And I just thought that was, wow. He knows what flip the page. I mean, that was, and it's like, came back to, okay, yeah. He was just being so patient and gentle. I'm ready to flip the page. It's like, okay. And I just want to ask, are you ready to flip the page into 2019? to say, you know what, enough, we've had enough of this level of knowing God, had enough of, you know, whether it was good or great, God has so much more. God has so much more that we can understand the depths, the heights, the breadth, the width, the wonders of His love for us. There's more. To not be satisfied, to be ready to flip the page on a new year that says, you know what, God, I want to know You more. I want to know You better. I want to live for You. Not just Sunday morning, that's great, but to dig in deeper to the things of God, the supernatural relationship that God has for you and I right here and now. To not be satisfied. So let's stand up. I want to close and pray for us. Thank You, Lord. God, thank You that You never want us to be satisfied with where we're at, and not in a frustrated way, but in a holy, righteous, dissatisfaction. To not be content with being good enough, of just knowing You. You didn't come to save us so that we could receive it and then forget about You. But You came to save us so that we could be in relationship. So, Father, I pray for all of us in this room. God, I pray for all of us. And I want You to receive this. Lord, just give us eyes to see the greater depths of Your glory and wonder. Lord, the greater reality of what we've known, that there's more. As much as we are grateful for who You are and all that You've done for our lives, Lord, we know there's more. God, help us in our thinking, in our thought life. Lord, be moving in our minds, Lord, to help us to take captive thoughts that shouldn't be there, that are lies, that are deceiving us into thinking You are a certain way when it's not true. God, give us greater understanding of who You are, Your purposes for us, the fact that You are a generational God. You didn't come just for us, but for the generations that follow us. Lord, help us to be influencers, God, to be used of You, to be serving You, to be living for You, to know You in greater, greater measure. Thank You, Lord, for this new year and Your grace that You have for us to love You with all of our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. Lord, help us to put it into practice. Give us a hunger and a thirst for Your word, a hunger for Your presence, a desire to make You known to others around us. To influence while we have time of influence. We thank You, Lord God, for Your grace. Thank You for Your supernatural power to help us and that we're not left to ourselves. Bless this day, we just pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Amen.